A few years ago, when I was avoiding what God wanted me to do, one of the things I thought would be a great idea would be to start a cleaning business. Can you all hear me okay? Fantastic. My voice is wonderful today. I love it. It's the best. So I thought I would start a cleaning business because my oldest sister had a cleaning business and she did fine and she had more business than she could handle. And all she had was a vacuum and a mop and some cleaning stuff. And I was, again, avoiding what God wanted. And so in avoiding that, I thought, I'll start a cleaning business. So I did. Had my business cards, my website, my brochures, flyers, was letting people know. And I had some accounts that I was cleaning, and I was trying to get more. And I finally landed a nice apartment complex that hired me to come and clean when they had people move out and their regular cleaner couldn't keep up. They hired me. Nice apartment complex. Also about that same time, one of my friends said, hey, there's this Honda Civic for sale. The guy can't get it to run. He wants $150 for it. I was like, sweet. So I bought this Honda Civic, and it turns out it needed a $30 electrical part. I love it when that happens. So I had $180 in this car, and it worked. It ran great. You know the little square hatchback Honda Civics that everybody loves now? They're cool. I had that, and I was driving it around, and I had just gotten this first big account with this apartment complex. And I was driving around through town. I pulled into the church one day and got out of my $180 Honda Civic. And the manager for this apartment complex pulls up behind me and saw me get out of my $180 Honda Civic. And normally I don't give a flying leap what anybody think. Like, it's a cheap car and I'm going to drive it. But I had this mindset that I had to present what you do. You need to present well. It's good to look like you know what you're doing and you're successful. It's good to look successful if you want to attract business. And me and my white Honda Civic, I don't know if you know this, but white paint fades. White faded paint Honda Civic. She saw me get out of that vehicle and I thought, puke. Now she's going to know that I really am a loser. I'm not kidding, that's what I thought. Because when you're not doing what God wants you to do and you're trying to do other things, you'll always feel like you're failing. That's a whole other topic. So I had this brilliant idea. I will sell the Civic and get something that makes me look more respectable. So I sold the Civic. And it turns out selling that Civic did not improve my cleaning skills at all. I was focused on my initial, what'll they think of me when they see me? And the lady was really nice. She never even once made me feel like I had to be pretentious. She's a really nice lady who didn't care what I drove. She cared how I cleaned. But I was convinced I needed to look good so people will hire me. And any of you who have ever hired someone, you know, all you care about is that it gets done right. So I sold this Honda Civic. And sometimes, you know, I like my truck, but there have been times when I think, man, I let that one go. I did make money on it. That's a good thing. But I realized I sold it for the wrong reason. I was more focused on my appearance than I was the quality of work I was doing. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3 today. And I remember, since I was a boy, I remember my dad preaching on this passage here. And this is where John the Baptist comes and tells everybody about Jesus. And just a quick refresher, John the Baptist was actually Jesus' cousin who was conceived 6 months before Jesus. So John the Baptist and Jesus are 6 months apart. And John has been out preaching before Jesus ever does anything, really. So John is about 30 and a half years old, and Jesus is about 30 years old when all this takes place. So we're going to read in John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. So if you have a Bible, great. I'm going to read it to you if you don't, but there's one in front of you. Did I say John chapter 3? I even wrote that on my sermon. Matthew chapter 3. John 3 is, you know, where we get John 3:16. We're in Matthew chapter 3. I apologize. And here's what it says. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey, that grasshoppers. Then Jerusalem was going out to hear him in all Judea and all the districts around Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, reminder, Pharisees and Sadducees are the religious people, like the church people. Arrogant church people, I should say that. When he saw the arrogant religious people coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" I'm so sorry. "Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our fathers.' For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee. So, I can't talk, so if somebody could get me a water, that would be great. I'm really, maybe Amy was going to do that. Thank you. Being sick is wonderful. So here's what happened. John the Baptist came, and he was out preaching in the wilderness. And he came out of the wilderness, and just to let you know, he did not look like a top executive. So when John the Baptist came out, I have never in my life had this happen before. Don't think that I'm being heretical, but I'm going to take a drink of grape juice. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Okay. So when John the Baptist came, thanks, Amy, he was dressed up like a wild man. Really, it says he was wearing a jacket of camel's hair. So he had this robe of camel's hair and a belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And what this means or meant to the people then was that he was really poor and did not look respectable. So we're contrasting in this. We see John the Baptist, who is dressed like a poor wild man who's been living in the wilderness. And then the Pharisees and Sadducees show up. So we have John, the wild man. I am so helpless today. We have the wild man over here preaching, and it says the whole region came out to hear him. Wild, crazy hair guy contrasted with the beautiful people came. And when they came, It doesn't say this, but we can tell by the way John talked to them, they were jealous. So lots of people were giving their lives to God, and the religious people were jealous. They shouldn't be jealous. They should be saying, congratulations, you are bringing more people to a commitment in God. But they weren't. And John says, you brood of vipers. I don't encourage cussing, and I don't condone it. It's a bad idea. But this phrase right here is just about the most derogatory term John could have called them, because the Pharisees and Sadducees considered snakes evil. In Genesis, it says that the serpent came and deceived Adam and Eve, and God cursed the serpent. So serpents are bad. They represent evil. And John says, you brood of Satanists. That's not a very nice thing to call people. But I can only imagine, again, this is speculation, what kind of murmuring and turmoil they were causing over here, saying, well, look at those people. I can't believe he looks like a wild, crazy man. And all of these people are coming to be baptized. They're obviously too dumb to even know any better. If they knew the law like we knew the law, they wouldn't be doing this. And John's like, you brood of Satanists. To the snobby church people. He says, you think you're special because you're a Jew. So you think you're special because you were born into this family. You think that just because you were born here, God's going to look at you and say, oh, well, you're an automatic. You're a part of the club. You don't even have to do anything. Like me, being born an American, I am born in this country. I did nothing to be born in besides being born, and that way it wasn't even up to me. I was born an American, and it would be like me walking around saying, oh, you pathetic little name your immigrant. It's the same thing. The Pharisees were like, oh, you guys are not worthy to be called a child of God. And John says, you're a brood of pit vipers. You're poisonous. All you're doing is killing people. Just because you were born this way doesn't mean God's going to go, oh, well, you're special. John says, actually, you're going to be evaluated. This is what he tells the Pharisees, by the kind of fruit. Here's he uses an analogy. The kind of fruit that you bear. Are you bearing good fruit? He says, because God is already prepared to chop you down. And this probably made them even more mad, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the established representatives of the Jewish people. Like they worked with, so the Jews were under the control of Rome, and there was this hierarchy. The Romans worked through here and the awesome. And John comes and says, God's getting ready to take you out. And their response was not, oh, I'm sorry. Please don't make that happen. It was, huh, whatever. And he says, if you want to be a part of God's kingdom, you need to be bearing fruit. Oh, great. What if I'm a crabapple tree? Wonder if anybody's like, I'm bearing fruit. I got crab apples. Or, yeah, I've got fruit. I'm a hedge apple. Sometimes we think about life like that. Sure, I'm doing a lot. But John says, if God just wanted church people, if all he wanted to do was say, hey, look at the amount of children that I have. John says, he could take these stones and turn them into Israelites, if that's God's goal. If God's goal for us is just to say, oh, look, we have a church full of beautiful people. Look at all the beautiful people. If that's what God wants, he could take all of the gravel surrounding this building and turn them into people, make them beautiful little people so everybody can sit back and admire how nice we look. If that was his goal. But John's like, that's not his goal. God is looking for people who will bear fruit. Well, what's that mean in Christian terms? It means people who are planted. What do we need to do to have something bear fruit? So first, there's a seed. And somebody takes this seed and puts it in the ground, covers it up, waters it, fertilizes it, cares for it, nurtures it, helps it grow. Sometimes it gets pruned. The whole goal being, someday, there are going to be these little buds that develop on the ends of your tree limbs, and they're going to produce something that we can harvest and use to give to other people. That's what John is saying. Look, Pharisees, you have no fruit because all they did was walk around and condemn other people. Like, they knew the law, and if you so much as stepped out of the line, oh, let me check your skirt length here. Your skirt comes to the top of your knees, and it's supposed to go to the bottom. Get to the back of the line. Or, well, your hair is a little too long. You can't be. So when I went to Olivet, it's a good school, but I went to Olivet. I am the reason that Olivet changed their hair policy. One thing I've accomplished in life, because my hair was long, and they said it wasn't a problem until I got there and signed the paperwork. And then my RA came to me and says, if you don't have your hair cut I think it was tomorrow, whatever, that's how I remember it, you'll have a $25 a day fine. I'm like, oh. So the president of the university got to know me on a first name basis. Like, I was in his office quite a bit. Because you can't be a real Christian and have that length of hair. Which sounds stupid. I'm like, really? But then sometimes I act like the Pharisee too, because I've got all my set of, well, if you're going to be a Christian, then this word should not be in your vocabulary, and you probably shouldn't watch this television show. And if, you know, you really want to make God happy, and if you really want to end up looking like me, because I'm the epitome of what God wants for everyone. I'm kidding. So what we do is we take these things that we have internalized, because I'm trying to earn God's forgiveness. Really, when it boils down to it, I haven't completely accepted that God just loves me. He loves me. I still think, well, maybe God's like me, and you have to earn my love, so maybe I have to earn God's too. And the Pharisees went around with their lists, evaluating everybody. Are you good enough? Yeah, I don't think so. You're not good enough. And the only thing the Pharisees did was chop trees down. And John says, oh, well, God has an axe at the base of your tree. And so as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, all right, Ben, I don't have everything figured out, and that's no secret. I even advertise my problems. If you're going to hear it, you might as well hear it from me first. But still, sometimes I get a little arrogant. If they had any sense at all, they would. Well, they say they are this, but then they act like this. And I become a pit viper. And then God says, well, if you're so busy trying to chop down other trees, have you noticed that there's an axe at the base of your tree? Like, I can get so busy worrying about other people's problems that I forget to do anything constructive with my own life. And John says, there is an axe at your tree because you're not being fruitful. Oh. You mean God has given me what he's given me to do something productive with it. And of course we all know we should feed starving, and I don't say this lightly, but when we think of what do Christians do? Well, we feed starving kids in Africa. We give money to the church to make us feel better. And then we go and sing Christmas carols at work quietly,
in the back of the line because we don't like to sing. You know, whatever these things we do, we begin doing these out of some other reason than being fruitful. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. It could be. I'm telling you the issues I fight in my own head. Why am I doing this? Because I feel like this is what a good Christian should do. And at some point, I have to get to the place in life where I realize God has given me a gift of forgiveness and freedom, and he doesn't expect me just to sit on it. It would be like if somebody gives me a $10,000 gift card to Taco Bell. I'd say, thank you, Jesus. And then I drove past all of these people who were sitting in, they're not there, but if they were people who were cold and hungry and had nothing to eat on the side of the road, and I'm like, psh, stinks to be you. Thank you, Lord, for this gift card. All I'm doing is taking what I've been given and using it for myself. And God says, really, there's enough to go around. Why don't you stop and take what I've given you and plant this into somebody else's life too? Because what I've learned from God is that when he gives me something and I use it the way he wants to be used, he does exactly what a plant does. You put one seed in the ground and you nurture it and water it, and when it comes back up, it produces 100 times what you put into it. And I have found that's true with God too. If I take my life and I begin looking around at other people's lives and saying, God, what have you given me? And how can I use this to plan into somebody else's life? It shifts the focus from how many chicken and rice burritos can I eat? More than I'll ever need. It shifts the focus to how many lives out there can I use to change? I can use this to change their lives. Because at some point, somebody stopped. I'm a 6th generation Christian. Lottie freaking da. Chris Farley, rest his soul. Who cares? Well, I'm a 6th generation Christian. Well, Ben needs to realize that 6 generations ago, somebody took the time to care for my great-great-great-grandfather. Great, I missed one. Somebody took the time to say, hey, do you realize that this stuff you're dealing with in life can be solved if you will look at God? Do you know what God wants for you? Do you know why you are so restless all the time and you move from maybe this will make me happy and then maybe this will make me happy and then, well, that didn't work either. Do you know why you're always looking and you have no peace in your life? Did you know God has an answer? Somebody did that for my great, 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 great grandfather. Well, I was born this way, so I'm special. When I change the way I think, I realize that maybe God can use me so that 6 generations from now, somebody can say, a long time ago, there's this guy that I've never met, and I don't even know who he is, but he loved my great, 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 great grandfather. And he said, God can bring this joy into your life. Sometimes we plant seeds that we never see the fruit of. Amy and I were talking about that this week with Upwards. Like, we had probably 450 people there on a weekly basis. And sometimes you just don't see. But we keep planting. Like, do you know? Hey, hey, right here. Yes, Jesus Jesus loves you. Stop picking your nose. No, hold on. Yes, Jesus he'll forgive you too. Yes, you should forgive your brother. No, he doesn't hate you. Jesus, we do this stuff at soccer. And we think, does anybody even hear? Maybe I'm just not going to do it next year. Or we have people at work where we think, I have been kind to them and nothing has ever happened, and I'm done. And we don't see that the seeds we have been planting are growing roots. Here's my metaphor, my analogy again. They're growing roots. They just haven't popped anything through the surface yet. And God wants to remind us in this that when we are children of God, our job is not to go around and cut down other people's trees. Our job is to go plant seeds so that we will be fruitful. It says that John came from the wilderness. He was saying, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And this is the wilderness. How in the world are you going to plant trees in that? Sometimes it takes a miracle to do what God wants to do. And all I know is he said, plant it, and I'm going to plant it. But when we plant these seeds, and we keep caring for them, sometimes fruit pops up. And what's interesting, the very last thing we read is John had been telling people, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Well, actually, he was saying the Messiah is coming. The Messiah will be here. And you know, these people were tired of hearing that. The Pharisees were, because they've heard that before. People have been saying that for hundreds of years. Do you know God's coming back? I'll give you 88 reasons why Jesus is returning in 1988. Missed that one. How about 89 reasons why he's returning in 1989? We have a whole industry built on scaring people into thinking God's coming back tomorrow. You're going to burn in hell if you don't repent today. There's a whole Christian industry built on that, which wears people out because they think, yeah, I've heard this before. Whatever. Okay. But somehow, this wild, crazy-haired man who ate grasshoppers said something to get the attention of the entire countryside. Do you know what John knew that all of those other people didn't know? He knew Jesus. No joke. John and Jesus were cousins, and he knew what was about ready to happen. And he said, listen. And when he preached to these people, he explained it in a way that they had never heard before. And sometimes God puts us in other people's lives at the right time. When they have questions, we can say, I know you've heard all this stuff before. Try to forget every bit of it. Let me tell you who Jesus really is. And he explained it to them, and when he explained it to them, it made sense. And the very last thing we read says, and then Jesus came. It's like, wow, he really did show up. And you know who recognized him? John. The guy who had been saying, hey guys, I've got some good news. You need to repent and be baptized so you can become a part of the kingdom of God. And what we get to do as Christians, as people who are trying to resemble Jesus, we're not people who want to pull out the big list of the Nazarene doctrine of why you have to believe that 16-inch skirts are better than 14-inch skirts. We don't really have that. Our goal is not to say, here, you've got to dress like this and talk like this to be a Christian. The goal is to say, there's a man who will forgive you for everything and make you a part of his kingdom. And when we preach like that, sometimes we'll say, hey, Jesus showed up. We pray for people and we work in their lives. And then Jesus came. We have no control over who accepts Jesus as their Savior. But I know that if we don't, they won't. Our hope and our responsibility as children of God is to start bearing fruit. So what I do is I say, all right, Ben, here's the amount of time you have in your day. Here are all of the things that you focus on. Does any of this matter? How many times can you look at rifles? How many times can you listen to that song? Some of it's for good. our district superintendent told me that I should start a hunting and gun ministry. So I'm thinking about that. How can I use what God has given me to help change the lives of other people? And when I get outside of myself, then I don't have to worry about the axe at the root of my tree. Is God looking at me ready to chop me down? Well, no. So my question, we're going to end with this, is are you a hedge apple or a pineapple? It sounds silly. Except for Deborah, she loves hedge apples because she likes to drive over them when they're in the road. I know things, girl. Hedge apples cause a mess. When you touch them, you get all sticky and nasty. The tree does all this work, and if it's in your yard, then you've got to mow around them. They're a nuisance. They're productive. They produce something, but they're a nuisance. Or are you a pineapple that people travel from around the world to harvest, and then they take back to their own home and say, hey, this is delicious. You need to try this. I'm going to ask myself, am I a hedge apple or a pineapple? What kind of fruit am I bearing? And my hope is that as we look at our own lives, we're coming through Christmas and people are saying, oh, if you really love me, you'll get me this. The best thing we can give to people is the hope that Jesus can change lives. And we could preach a whole sermon on that too. Don't be a hedge apple. Be a pineapple. And God can take the seeds in our life and use them to change other people's lives. Does that make sense? That's all I have to say about that. Okay. What we want to do is remember that Saturday we have, if you're helping to cater the firemen's banquet, please let Loretta know. And if you want to hear some fantastic music and you have some non-perishable food items that you would like to eat, bring them with you. And we're going to make baskets for some people who need some food. So those are both happening Saturday. If you're able to stand, would you do that, please? Let's pray. I thank you, God, for this morning, and I ask that you would take the things from the Bible that we have heard, and you would help them to make sense in our lives. Thank you for giving us peace and comfort in knowing you, and I hope that my only goal in life is to please you, and if you can use me to change other people's lives, that would be great. I ask that you would do that with each one of us here this morning. Use us to show other people who you are and the love you have for them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope you have a good week. I will. I could not.
Don't care.